if I look at this and boil it down, I'm going to move at a moderate pace sometimes. I'm going to move really fast and explosively sometimes, and then I'm going to move heavy stuff.
And that's it. Yeah. Move slow and long, fast and short, lift heavy stuff, and do it every week. And I mean, you're well on the way, and you can figure out how much time you want to allot to each. But if you're not doing those things regularly, all three of them, start there. Hi, everyone. This is The Podium, and I'm Dr. Kevin Sprouse. Our podcast originated as a resource for my practice, where I work with professional athletes and high-performing individuals from around the world. Today, it has become a forum for an even greater audience, and we welcome everyone as we discuss the principles of performance and then disseminate pertinent, actionable information with our patients in mind. One thing to note before we begin, the content of this podcast is not meant as medical advice. This is for general informational purposes only. Welcome to The Podium.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Podium. I am Patrick Morris and I am joined today by Dr. Kevin Sprouse.
Happy New Year, Patrick. I think this is going to come out right as 2024 is starting. And hopefully it's a salient topic at that time of year.
Yeah. And while we are firm believers in evergreen content, we are going to gear this towards people kind of getting ready for, I guess it'll be 2024 to tackle their goals or potentially a resolution of some sort. But this is also great advice just for, in general, anybody who's like, you know what, I think I just want to be healthier.
Yeah. Do you have a New Year's resolution or multiple?
I have a breakdown of goals that kind of play with the year, like 2024, just because that's fun. But it's a wide ranging thing as opposed to years past. I've typically been very health focused with my goals. You know, I'll read a book a month or a book a week, whatever it might be. And then a lot of 4 watts per kilogram, you know, 315 pound squat, 225 pound bench, all these like super numerical things. This year's a little different.
Yeah.
What about yourself?
I don't believe in New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
We might've talked about this in the past, but I'm personally vehemently opposed to them.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm opposed to them for everybody. I'm perfectly fine if other people want to have them. But to me, I don't like anything where maybe weeks ahead of time, I come up with something that would be really good to do later. And so for me, I've always thought, well, if it's something I want to change, I'm going to start it today. And so today is whatever the 7th, 8th of December. Like I would feel really weird saying, okay, in the new year, I want to accomplish X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to start that 3 days from now or 3 weeks from now. So it always just hasn't set well with me. But I also recognize that's a bit of a personality disorder, and it's perfectly fine to have goals and things like that for the new year. If my wife is listening, she's laughing at me right now because she knows exactly how I frame these things.
Yeah. But I think it's good to have like both of these positions kind of like, yeah, I like to look at it as having, you know, there's a lot of negativity about, oh, like start today, whatever it might be, like, you know, why are you putting it off? But there's always something new about, oh, it's a new week, it's a new month, it's a new day, and kind of like the freshness of that and how you can approach it. And all of those things that I listed as numbers are stuff that I've been working on for like a long time. It's not a,
for sure,
it's not a quick or a wholesale change. And I think that kind of reflects on what we'll be talking about today is a lot of people think, oh, I need to make this huge wholesale change in my life to be able to be a healthy person or to lose this weight or to get fit for the new year, which is not a smart goal to necessarily have, not a super a specific sort of a thing. But instead, okay, these are the foundational things that I've been doing for a long time. It's kind of part of my value structure, things that I value as my day to day. And how can I continue to improve upon those? So that's how I like to look at the new year. It's like, okay, I've been checking these boxes. What did I miss out on? So last year for me, strength training had really slipped away. So I got too deep into cycling, was just not feeling good off the bike, didn't look athletic, didn't really feel athletic, but the power numbers were awesome. So I was like, okay,
yeah,
things are going well. But stepping back and saying, okay, what boxes aren't being checked across this kind of like wide ranging scope of overall health and wellness?
Yeah, no. And I agree with that. I think finding whatever motivates you to make the, not even the changes, but the steps toward change that you want to see. I mean, if that's a New Year's resolution, a new week, whatever, like I said, I don't have a problem with it. But for me, I've always just addressed it a little differently because I know it's what works for me personally. But I think that is, like you said, it's kind of it's a goal of how we're going to approach this today. So many people enter the new year saying, I'm going to get fitter. I'm going to get faster. I'm going to get stronger, like very nebulous, goals that are hard to know if you're making progress, hard to know if you've achieved it. And because of that, a lot of times they're hard to maintain. Like people don't continue the progress. And so we wanted to talk today about if you were someone who had this goal of wanting to get fitter this year, like do the things that is going to move the needle for you in terms of fitness, what does that look like? You know, we talked a little bit about this during our foundational series, and the goal is to revisit that slightly, but with a little bit of this New Year's tent to it, that if you want to take where you are currently in terms of fitness, you know, 0 to 100, wherever you're starting, and enter the new year with an idea that you want to develop a well-rounded fitness routine, for the purposes of, you know, getting to next December in a really good place physically, fitness wise, what does that look like? Because I think a lot of people go into January with that idea, but no roadmap. They don't know where to spend their time. So hopefully we can talk through that today.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a lot about kind of the process, or like, you know, some people would look at it as like a process goal, but more we're going to talk about kind of, okay, what are the things that we looked at through the foundation series, and then simplify it a little bit, because it's really intimidating for a lot of people who approach this and maybe aren't in a good routine with things. They haven't been training, or they're like kind of trying to take their training up a little bit, and they're like, okay, what do I need to add? What do I need to take away? Or, you know, what can I do more of, as opposed to like what gadget, what quick fix, what kind of hack can I work into my routine that's exhausting to do every day? Like we were talking about cold plunges before this, which can be great, but financially I can't swing that right now. And time-wise, I'm not going to spend that 15 minutes in the morning in the cold tub.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great example. You know, we get a lot of patients asking about things that they saw on social media or whatever, from a fitness standpoint. And oftentimes there's merit to those things, but they fall into that category of marginal gains. And adding that thing to your routine might add a little bit, but it's for most people isn't the one missing thing, right? And so I think a good way to look at this is to back up and almost say, if you were starting with a clean slate and wanted to approach the new year with a goal of improved fitness, what does that look like? And then you can say, okay, I'm ticking those boxes, or I'm not. Where do I need to put some effort? And then once all that is off and running, if you want to look into gadgets and I don't even want to call it fads, but things that you can do that are, you know, a little more of an addition to your routine, that's fine. But if you're doing that on top of a weak foundation, it doesn't make sense. The other thing I think is a lot of people go into a goal season like this, and they want to focus their efforts or increase what they're already doing. And oftentimes what they need to do is look at some of the things that they're not doing. So if you're an endurance athlete and you just had a really big year on the bike, you know, that's great. Probably the best thing you can do for your health is not add 10% to that, right? It's probably something that's totally counter, that balances it out. And that's where we often don't want to do that. We don't like to go to the things where we're not as good. But having a wider view is going to make you more fit. And in my opinion, oftentimes going to make you better at the things you do like. So that cyclist who, I don't know, maybe you rode 8,000 miles on your bike this year, right? Pretty decent training year. And you want to go for 10,000. Well, that's fine, but you're probably going to become healthier and better on the bike if you do 8,000 again really well, but throw in some things that tick boxes you haven't ticked yet. So that's at least my mindset in going into this talk.
Yeah. And it's great to look at it that way, because with a lot of these things from a more general perspective, you know, a lot of the fun stuff, the marginal gains, we get with patients, with your athletes, because they're getting a paycheck for their sport. Mm-hmm. And that is what's going to make the difference for them, is that 0.5% or that percent. But for the rest of us, that 0.5% is pretty worthless. And yeah, if we can get 10% improvement, then let's go after that. So whatever that looks like for you is going to be more important than chasing down like those little tidbits.
Yeah. So I think one of the things to throw in here too, before, and then we'll jump into kind of what does this look like. To me, health and performance don't necessarily have to diverge. And they usually, if they are going to diverge, they don't diverge as close to the start of a program as people might think. So in other words, if your goal is to, I don't know, excel at Steamboat Gravel this year, or your goal is to deadlift X number of pounds by November, right? Whatever your goal is, it doesn't behoove you to start with a single-minded focus now. The best plan of action is probably to build the healthiest base for those things. And then as you get close to it, of course, you're going to need some very sport-specific, goal-specific time in your training to really kind of fine-tune things. But now is not the time to be fine-tuning. Now is the time to be building a very wide base so that you can narrow it down when you need to. And at that point, yeah, maybe you sacrifice what would be considered the most quote-unquote healthy plan for, you know, 6 or 8 weeks while you focus in on your goal. But that's okay. However, if you spend six to eight months really imbalanced, I don't think that's a great way to proceed with respect to your health or the final performance that you're hoping to attain. So this will start with a bit more of a January overview than, you know, what are the three sets of intervals you have to do to win Steamboat.
Yeah. I feel a little attacked there because the four in my 2024 goal is a 400 pound deadlift, but we're looking at it from a different perspective of like across the year. So we've talked about doing an episode where we break down kind of what a perfect day looks like if you just had an entire day to spend on nothing but your own health.
Yeah.
I think today it'd be good to kind of talk about, okay, what are your weeks going to look like? And then what are those monthly cycles start to kind of look like throughout that year if you're looking at this kind of just general overview?
Yeah. So I think that's a great way to think about it. When I talk to a patient about their exercise goals, so exercise, not training, right? I'm thinking about this really broadly. What's going to create a healthy base, a complete physiology that will allow you to be the best Ironman triathlete, ultra runner, Major League Baseball player? A lot of it comes back to the very same thing to start with. And in my mind, there's kind of three buckets or three circles in the Venn diagram where you want to have appropriate weight in each of these. None of them can be empty, right? You have, in my opinion, you have to tick all these boxes to have an appropriately healthy physiology. We'll go ahead and say the three and then dig into each one. So one is kind of that aerobic or endurance side of your physiology. That is the efficiency with which you're able to perform sub-threshold efforts. So that's anything that would be like an hour long or longer. Of course, if you are an explosive athlete, your goal there doesn't look the same as someone who's an ultra marathoner. But you still need to have some efficiency there. You don't want to be bottom of the barrel with respect to your aerobic efficiency for a number of reasons. And we'll come back to that. Next, we have that explosive or glycolytic component. So that can be, that's going to be sprints, shorter intervals, you know, 3, 5, 7 minutes. Things that are kind of where you think about VO2 max. So if the one I talked about just a minute ago, that aerobic, is that classic zone two that everyone's talking about now, which it kind of is, you know, for all intents and purposes of this talk, then this is kind of the zone five plus. And you have to balance both sides of that. And endurance athletes are often good at getting their head around that, but then they forget about the third one, which is kind of that, I mean, we'll call it strength for lack of a better one word term, but it's everything encompassed in that, from stability, mobility, soft tissue health, you know, strength, power, explosiveness. And if you're not doing something weekly to address all three of these, then your routine is incomplete. And I don't care what you do as like what your end goal is, what your sport is, what your recreation is. If you're not doing something in all of these, you're leaving performance gains and certainly health gains on the table, as far as I see it.
Yeah. And they'll ebb and flow for like athletes across the season, because that's kind of how you approach it. But this is looking at that general baseline, and it fits really well with kind of the ethos a patient once told us, just like, I want to be able to say yes to go and do things. And having each of these boxes kind of pretty well checked will help you be at that point where, oh, I've got 4 weeks. I can get ready for that. I could probably go do it now, but I'll feel better. And you're just kind of ready to do whatever in a way that you're going to get a lot of a benefit out of it.
Yeah. And it will ebb and flow based on, you know, seasonality, with respect to your sport, your goals. But I don't think, I'm trying to think if there's a scenario where any of them is left totally unchecked. And I don't think so. I mean, even during a race like the Tour de France, guys are working on some of their mobility stuff and soft tissue, you know, at the hotel and the bus. They're doing body weight, single leg stuff, banded exercises. So it never goes to zero. But the contributing weight from each will vary, within a year or a season.
Yeah. So let's look at, you know, starting off without thinking, oh, there's an event coming up. It's just kind of in general, kind of how you think structuring that week sort of process with these three in mind goes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm happy to even talk about what kind of how I set out my weeks. Mm-hmm. Not that it's perfect, but I'm trying to implement this idea. And I've got no goals, like I've got no races or anything like that coming up. So it really is with the idea that just trying to be fit and healthy from an exercise standpoint. So I hope to throw in some races and events, but this will give me a foundation where I can ramp up when I need to. So if we look at the endurance side of it, my goal is to have three, maybe four of these endurance zone two type efforts during a week, each one lasting 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes right now. Those will get longer when
it's nicer outside, out
and I want to do it. Yeah. But I don't feel like I have to be a glutton for punishment and be on my trainer for 2 hours at this point when I don't have anything on the calendar. So that'll get me kind of 4-ish hours per week in this zone two range, which is kind of 130-ish beats per minute for me and lower. And then some of that, we'll throw in some intervals. So I said on the bike, it may be a run, it may be a walk. I mean, the other day I went for a walk just cause it felt that's what I wanted to do. Right. It was a beautiful morning. And so mix it up again a bit, but try to get that 4 hours of exercise at that level. And this, the hours are not important. So somebody will say, well, I can't have 4 hours. You know, that's okay. Do three, do two. If you can't, you know, do what you can do. Sure. There's more benefit to doing probably 4/2. There's more benefit to doing 8/4, but that's a declining arc there. So I think ideally getting 3 to 5 hours in this zone per week for health reasons is probably best. The American College of Sports Medicine recommends 150 minutes, which I think is great if you're coming from sedentary, but it's probably not enough to be, you know, to really maximize this benefit to meet that point where you get the most bang for your buck. By the same token, doing 10 or 12 hours a week, it's probably a little bit better, but only a little bit better. So 4 to 5 hours, kind of the golden ticket there.
Yeah. You start to get to some diminishing returns once you get above, and we're not looking to get the kind of the least common denominator. It's like, we don't want necessarily the least effective dose. We're kind of looking what you can have is the most sustainable dose for you. And I really like kind of how you touched on it. It doesn't have to be rigid and it doesn't have to be like super strict with what you're doing. It can be a lot different. What you're thinking about is like the time in that intensity zone. So it's not necessarily, it has to be on the bike. You know, it's wintertime, like you said. I like to use seasonality for my own training. So it's like, oh, I'm going to do more hikes. I'm going to do more things that aren't just on the trainer for a 4-hour weekend ride, because I'm not trying to race Leadville. I didn't get in. So we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked to patients and other folks about using a lactate meter to figure out where your zone two is, and all that's fun. And I mean, I'm probably somebody who's most intrigued by it you know, if we were to line up all the folks interested in this, I'm right at the top there. But I also recognize that, okay, so if my zone two tops out at 130 beats a minute, but there's a day where I'd rather go for a walk, or yesterday afternoon went and played golf with my 6-year-old, right? So I'm carrying my bag and sometimes his. My heart rate maybe hit 100, right? Doesn't mean it was worthless. I can still kind of throw it in that bucket and move on. That zone two-ish bucket, zone one, zone two. And it's not like everything fell apart, you know? So it's being a little bit more lax in seeing where these things go. So I'm aiming for that 4 to 5 hours for me, in this type of aerobic intensity. The number may look different for someone else. And then, from a strength standpoint, for me, I'm aiming for 3 days a week. Two of those are about an hour and 15 minutes in the gym. One is 45 minutes. The timing is, you know, it is what it is. That's maybe 3-ish hours, right? But I know for me, that allows me to have the kind of the three good workouts I want to have. One of those being much more high intensity, explosive, higher heart rate the whole time. The other two being more typical, standard, you know, lift some weight, sit for a minute. You know, heart rate doesn't go real high, but strength comes along with that. So, you know, kind of the polar opposite of what I was doing with the endurance piece, and something that quite honestly, I left out of my routine for a long time till a couple years ago, and have really been doing better with at this point. And I want to maintain that and build strength gains. But at that point, we've got 4 to 5 hours over here in the zone two bucket. We've got 2.5, 3 hours in the strength bucket. And then the high intensity kind of glycolytic part of it, really, if I do once a week with some 2-minute intervals on the run, 30-second intervals, run, bike, whatever, and really spike the heart rate repeatedly, then that can serve that role. That other like weight workout I talked about kind of does, but I don't quite get there with that. So the other one is what I would plan for myself. However, I'll be honest, I rarely do it. And that's the one that I really need to focus on more intently, is having those VO2 max efforts. And that's probably where I stand to gain the most. But right there, if that's a 45-minute workout, we're kind of looking at 8-9 hours a week, which I'll say is not something that everybody has. I totally get that. But it's also not a crazy amount if you break it down, because I'll get an hour in the morning on the bike, go to the gym at lunch for 45 minutes to an hour, and can kind of work that in over a week pretty easily if it's planned, if I make sure that it's kind of blocked off.
Yeah. And there's ways to kind of to sneak it in if you're someone who hears that and is like, oh, there's no way that I can do that. 20 minutes is a great amount of time to spend doing some daily movement in the morning. And I know that tends to be part of your routine as well. And that can kind of help bring up that strength bucket if it's something that you really struggle with and you're just like, I just can't go to the gym. Okay, well, let's work on 20 minutes of bodyweight things. And then I think a lot of times we find that we start to enjoy that, whatever we've been missing. Like you're saying, the VO2, I was like, I'm missing a little snap in my training right now because I've not been doing it. I want to go have short amounts of snaps.
Yeah.
Not like the 5-6 minute I'm dying up the climb, more like I just need to go do some sprints. Like I've really wanted to go do like 400s, which is wild. So I actually want to do that. But like, I like, okay, the body wants that right now.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's a great thing. And when you don't have that and you don't have that well-rounded physiology, you know it, especially if you've been there before. If you've been at a place where you've enjoyed that type of fitness and it's not there, getting back to it is fun. It may be painful to do it, but it's also kind of a fun endeavor. But I think you're right. It doesn't have to be as strict as finding these big blocks of time. Like you said, I mean, I spend 10 to 20 minutes every morning doing some stretches, some push-ups, some body weight stuff, really just to get going. But it counts. I mean, it's not nothing. So it's finding those opportunities you have in your day to fill each of these buckets. And I think if you look across a week or a month or whatever, a training cycle, and you can't point to significant amount of time that you spend in each one of these three, then you're missing the boat in terms of fitness and health. And the reason I want to point this out is because things become, you know, in a cyclical manner, things become trendy, right? And so, you know, right now everybody wants to do the weight training and zone two stuff, right? And like we said, that's kind of where I'm falling into my training. But there's not a whole lot of talk about the VO2 max efforts and the really high intensity, short duration. But those things are hugely important. And so being able to step back and take a broad view and see what you're doing, what you're not doing is helpful. Likewise, if you're starting from a blank slate and it's, you know, January 1st and you're looking out and saying, well, I want to get fitter, but I'm not quite sure, you know, do I hire a trainer? Do I buy a Peloton? Whatever. I think having this framework gives you an idea of what you need to be focusing on, or at least, you know, in what directions you need to be looking.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, when you look out kind of across the sphere, like you're saying, the things that are popular right now, strength training, everybody's saying zone two, there's been a real loss of like training like an athlete or just trying to be athletic and move like your body in space. And I think that's something that for people looking to, I want to get healthier this year. It's really easy to think, oh, I'm going to start running. And then you start running five times a week and that's all you do. And then you're broken down by March and you're not feeling good. Cause you didn't think, okay, like what do I need to do to just like kind of be like what an athlete does? Cause if you look at like an athletic physique, you're like, that's kind of what I want to look like, regardless of like, oh, if I have a physique goal, a body composition or something like that. So if you think, okay, if I work more the way that they do, they're doing some explosive work, they're doing some strength work, hopefully they're doing some aerobic work, but I think that's missed a lot of times in team sports. But if you check all of those boxes, those sorts of results come in down the line. It's just a slow, steady drip across the year, consistency across all things, and constantly kind of looking back at what you're maybe leaning more towards and what, okay, let's add some strength back, kind of like what you were saying, what I kind of did last year. I've kind of moved probably too much from the bike the last 8 weeks. It's like, okay, let's get riding a little bit more, get some more things like that in. And it just kind of ebbs and flows to where you kind of start to feel that balance.
I think it's a really good point. A lot of people enter this time of year with aesthetic goals, right? They want to appear a certain way by spring break or summer break. And it's totally understandable. I think a lot of the times that fails, it is because there's not balance in a program in this way. You know, they jump on board whether it's a certain gym or there's some program they hop on board with, which is great, but it's incomplete. And the reason for that, I think, hides in what's happening physiologically in each of these buckets. So when you're doing the aerobic work, you're really training the mitochondria in the muscles to be more efficient. Without getting too deep in the science, mitochondria they live within cells. They create energy.
It's the powerhouse of the cell.
The powerhouse of the cell, right? They make ATP. And in doing so, when you train them, they can become more efficient. You can create more of them. You can feed them better. So you even change how the blood flow is distributed. And you basically build a machinery that allows you to be more efficient at certain work, to burn fat better, quite honestly, and to do the training that you're wanting to do better, so that you can continue to progress, right? So it's really important to have that part of your training, but it doesn't do anything for your really high-end capability, that sprint and power component. And so you can think, if you've ever watched elite marathoners, they're crazy fast, very efficient, and oftentimes very frail looking. Right. I think for many people who aren't trying to compete at that level, that's not really the aesthetic they're going for and not really the type of fitness they're going for either. They want something more well-rounded. Again, I'm not trying to say this is good or bad. It's just, what are your goals? If you're an elite marathoner, that's what you're going for: light, fast, efficient. But for the rest of us, you know, if we start, like you said, a program where we're just going to run 5 days a week, you're going down a path that maybe doesn't lead toward the goal that you have in mind. But then if you throw into that some high intensity work, some of the 30 second, 2 minute, 3 minute intervals, you start to look a little bit more like a sprinter, right? And it's, again, it's not how you look, but it's what's going on physiologically. So you're requiring some anaerobic metabolism to be occurring. You're building that muscular structure. You're also improving your use of sugar, right? So from a health standpoint, a lot of us look at what our blood sugar levels look like. And the more you can empty the tank where you store that sugar, which is in the muscles, and you empty it by those high intensity efforts, just like open up the drain and letting it flow, then the more capacity you have to take on and manage sugar. So you're getting, you know, not just performance, but health benefits by doing that. But if you're doing all of that and not spending time working the soft tissue in a way that is resistance based, and that can be body weight. It doesn't mean you have to go join a gym or buy a bunch of gym equipment. Those are great things to have and to use for sure, but it's not required. But if you can, you know, then start to utilize resistance training, you know, body weight, heavier weights, then you start to kind of improve the soft tissue quality, so to speak, which also impacts obviously power, explosiveness, glucose metabolism, you know, a lot of the same things we're talking about from a health standpoint, tendon health, you're less likely to get injured if you've kind of taken the time to build that soft tissue and that connective tissue. And then, you know, you work all those in and you've ticked all these boxes to where you're starting to move toward your goal, which probably wasn't one of soft tissue health and mitochondrial health. It might be if you're really maybe sophisticated or just really into this type of stuff. But those are the requirements for getting to the goals that most people have. And so that's the underpinnings of why when you say it's not necessarily effective to just go start running 5 days a week, that's why you're hitting one out of three of the buckets we need to really address.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is good to have a shorter episode for kind of a basic foundation here. So like really, if I look at this and boil it down, I'm going to move at a moderate pace sometimes. I'm going to move really fast and explosively sometimes. And then I'm going to move my body in some things and some heavy stuff.
Lift heavy stuff. Yeah. And that's it. Yeah. Move slow and long, fast and short, lift heavy stuff and do it every week. And I mean, you're well on the way. And you can figure out how much time you want to allot to each. But if you're not doing those things regularly, all three of them, start there.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I appreciate you all listening. I hope you got some good takeaways from today's basic episode. And I hope you have a wonderful 2024.
Yeah. Happy New Year. Thanks for listening to The Podium. To hear more, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram, where I am at Dr. Kevin Sprouse. That's at Dr. Kevin Sprouse. The podcast posts at the_podium_podcast. You can also find and follow me on Strava. The content of this podcast is meant for general informational and educational purposes only and does not constitute medical advice. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. All listeners should speak with their doctor or medical practitioner before implementing any change in their healthcare regimen. If you're currently a patient at Podium, then you have an established doctor-patient relationship with me, and I'm happy to discuss this with you. If you're not currently a patient at Podium, nothing in this recording establishes a doctor-patient relationship between us, nor does it constitute the practice of medicine, nor the dissemination of medical advice. Should you implement any information contained herein without consulting your own physician, you do so at your own risk. The Podium Podcast is a Palm Tree Podco production. Our executive producer is Anthony Palmer, and the associate producer is Garrett Wright. Thanks to our digital team, Emily Miles and Caitlin Krings. The content for this episode was created by the team at The Podium.